Welcome to the Wand and Scarpunk podcast!
Welcome to the Warrington Scarpunk podcast. This is number 6, I think. Hello, Sarah. Ooh,
hello.
We have Sarah with us. Sarah, tell everybody about you.
I'm Sarah. I look after Shout Louder, which is an online webzine. It's for punks who don't like paper cuts. And then because of that tagline, I'm also doing a book called Paper Cuts. And I've got a podcast and I appear at lots of gigs when that's the sort of thing that you can actually do.
Which may happen at some point in the future, but probably not.
What are you? Fingers crossed, I'm trying not to think about it.
Yeah, so we're recording this 15 hours into 2021. How has 2021 been for you so far?
So far, it's been all right. I woke up feeling a bit rough this morning, which is a surprise because I don't drink. And I wonder if maybe just staying up till midnight has worn me out. Am I that kind of person now?
I mean, I definitely am. I mean, things I work nights, and yet I still, for some reason, can't cope with a late night, even though I can cope with being anyway.
Do you find it easier when you've been at work, out of interest?
The thing is, I do really weird nights. So what I used to have a very clear schedule for, like, I would stay up all night the night before, like, but kind of having fun, playing games, watching TV, until like 3 a.m. and then go to sleep and then sleep most of the day. And then meaning that I kind of was sort of ready for being nocturnal the next night. But the thing is, the job I do now, I tend to do I'll be on call all night, so I might not get woken up.
Yeah, so it's all over the place.
Or I might get woken up 5 times, and so then you just feel battered, basically, the next day.
Oh, God, yeah, that's absolutely rough. I've found when I've done nights in the past, I think as long as I'm on the same schedule, like it's the same time for like 4 days or whatever, then it's okay. But if it's just a random night in the middle of nowhere, I'm destroyed the next day.
So most of this podcast is going to be us talking about circadian rhythm. I don't know if any of you guys had come here to listen to music, but that's definitely not going to happen.
I like to think that you can fit music into the beat of your circadian rhythm.
I feel like
the two can be linked.
I'm pretty sure somewhere at home I've got a CD by a band called Circadian or something like that. And that would have been a brilliant, perfect segue. We don't have
that. That would be, yeah. I definitely listen to more upbeat music in the morning and then more downbeat in the evening. So maybe I'm fitting it in already in my rhythm of my day.
There's also an album called Upbeat Downbeat by someone as well. I'm going to let you choose a song, because why not?
Well, so it's 1st of January, and I've been really, really, really excited about the new Nosebleed release. They've started talking about it in the last week, but they recorded, a year and a half ago or something like that, and I had the extreme privilege of getting to go along to the studio with them for a little bit of it. So I'm kind of intimately attached to this particular record, and they've been holding off releasing it, and they've put out their first single this morning. Nice. And that's a song called Make Up Your Mind.
Let's listen to that now.
You make me feel blue, and I have been
that was, well, so we've just seen the video of Nosebleeds Make Up Your Mind.
Yeah, so that's their new single. It's the first single off their new album, and it's a bit of a change of direction.
I left some dead air there. I thought you were going to say some more stuff.
It is the Sean Keating show.
It is a lot less. It's a lot less heavy than the Nosebleed stuff I've heard before. It's actually it lands perfectly in my wheelhouse of just. I just love the melodicness. I mean, that guitar solo was incredible.
Like I said, Elliot's just an absolute diamond on the guitar, and I don't know. I think the instrumentation of that track is somewhat different to what they've done before, and I think it adds a lot more depth.
I mean, just the tone on that solo. I mean, I just want to sit there and watch that solo about three times. It was amazing. I recently, as you know, recorded a dodgy Christmas EP with my kids, which...
Oh, yes. It was fantastic.
No one on the podcast is going to... I'm not going to bother sharing that on the podcast for another year because it's now January and no one needs to hear Christmas songs. But
just stick some Christmas music in March. You'll be fine.
But when I was recording it, even though it is mostly carols recorded with my kids, I think every single song has a guitar solo because for me, you've got to have a guitar solo. I'm all about... When Metallica brought out St. Anger and it didn't have any guitar solos on, I was just like, that's not real music. So that was a treat. And you have a tidbit of interesting information about the filming of their video as well.
I guess so, yeah. So the video, for those who haven't seen it, is the band dragging some dead bodies through the woods in a very bleak kind of
Happy
view
New
of 2020,
Year!
I think. Yeah. But yeah, so the video, it's kind of very bleak and kind of almost grayscale, and they're dragging dead bodies through the woods. And from what I hear, they were actually stopped by the police at the end of the video because they were seen dragging a dead body through the woods.
I mean, it's proper realistic as well. It looks like a dead body.
They've done a fantastic job with the video. It's definitely a good watch. I'm so chuffed that they're doing that. Although you were commenting on their suits as they're going through the woods as well.
Only in the fact that they are brilliant. Like, they're terrible, but like they're brilliantly terrible. Like, as in they're just, yeah, like they, it's just everything about the aesthetics of that video, everything brilliant. I was fully on board with that.
So, well, normally Nosebleeds, so they're known for wearing their suits. They're kind of like the most sharply dressed band.
Ah, you see, I did not know that. So now
yeah,
I
so
feel
they
bad.
always wear suits. They won't go on stage without suits on, but they normally have a new suit for every album that they release. So they had blue ones at one point. They had white ones for one album, and I bet those
suits smell really bad.
That is a yes. I mean, I don't know if they get washed between the albums. I'm not sure. That's definitely been commented on in the past, I think. But
for those of you who obviously aren't on the podcast with us, I just shook my head in a sad way.
But yeah, so I do notice, though, I'm fairly sure that the suits they're wearing in the video are from the previous album. So we've not seen their brand new suits yet.
I mean, I think maybe they've changed their identity after being stopped by the police. So, you know, switching to new suits sounds like a good plan.
I wonder if there's a metaphor in the video. I wonder if, obviously, they're taking a little bit of a new sonic direction. I wonder if what they're burying in the woods is their old sound.
Wow. That's
I don't know if that's true. That's a bit deep
comment. But that was amazing. That was Nosebleed. That was wonderful. I'm going to choose a song now. So I've been listening to just a complete ramshackle of nonsense over the last... I mean, Bandcamp is amazing for that. You just tend to really fall down the rabbit hole. I'm sure Spotify and all them are the same. But
I find YouTube the worst for it, actually, because you just play on and on and on with the different tracks.
Nice, yeah. I have been listening to... Let's go with... there's an album by the Do-Rights called Funky Bad Time.
Amazing.
We're going to listen to the track Uptown from that now. We'll be right back. quite like funky things. I particularly like the bit where the like kind of the sawtooth wave thing comes in.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I don't know if you know this, but that sort of thing, that song is exactly my cup of tea.
Well, there we go.
I listen to a lot of hip hop with that kind of thing in the background. My Spotify has informed me this year that I primarily listen to jazz rap. I didn't know that that was a thing, but apparently that's what I like.
I mean, I feel like as two people pretty kind of heavily involved in promoting and kind of saying how good the UK punk scene is,
yes,
we don't really deserve to like be doing that, do we? Like, I mean, later on, I've got some Brazilian sort of folk guitar.
Fantastic. I think and this is something I like the most about the UK punk scene now is the diversity of it, not in terms of like literal the diversity of people, but I mean the diversity of listening. I think punk nowadays is more of an ethos than an actual genre, and I think as part of that ethos you shouldn't be snobbish about listening to other things. You know, you should be able to go around and have as eclectic taste as you want. Shouldn't be something you should be criticised for.
I think that's something that's always appealed to me about ska, particularly, like ska punk, because already you're kind of combining these, like now we just think of them as fitting, but they totally don't fit. Like you're kind of up four-bar punk, like,
yeah.
And ska is, it's a blend. And so with that blend, you just get, you know, like if someone has like a jazzy like flute solo in the middle of a ska album, like ska punk yeah. album, no one notices. Like no one, no. Like it's just not a thing at all. And I think, yeah, that's even stuff like Sonic Boom 6. You know, like they were one of the first bands I really got into, and they have a load of hip hop tendencies. And you know, you could almost say they're not really a ska punk band at all, or something. Ooh. You know. But yeah, what have you got planned for January? Anything?
Absolutely nothing.
I mean, you've got a book coming out.
I do have a book coming out. And unfortunately, the printing was slightly delayed due to a number of factors, coronavirus being one of them, Christmas being another one of them. And I had to switch from one printer to another in order to get higher quality of print. So the books are now due to land on my doorstep on the 12th of January. So I imagine I'll spend a few days posting those out.
The thing is, when you opened up ordering and you said that it would be delivered by Christmas, you did not say which Christmas. So you're fine.
That's a good point that you've got there. That's excellent. Well, what was really fortunate, I emailed everybody who had ordered a copy and said, look, are any of these Christmas gifts? And if they are, I will send you something else instead if I can. So a couple of people have received homemade soap.
Nice.
I don't think is the service they were expecting, but
I've kind of wished that I had ordered. I don't think I even ordered one because, I'll say why I haven't ordered one. But
I think you can probably have one, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. But I haven't ordered one. But I wish I had, because so then when you'd emailed me, I could have said no, I really needed this, and so now I have to have some free soap, please. The reason I haven't ordered one is because we have started a publishing thing.
We have, and it's such a cool project, but we haven't like properly announced it, have we? So I've mentioned it to a couple of people.
We might have announced it by the time this comes out.
Hopefully, yeah. Yeah.
You might have updated your text on the website by the time this comes out.
At some point, I may actually do something. You're right.
What is funny is I frantically have ordered loads of stickers and stuff because I thought, oh no, those books are going to arrive any minute.
They were supposed to arrive in December.
And so the stickers arrived today or yesterday or whenever it was.
Amazing.
So that's exciting. It's called Beyond Cataclysm. You can check it out at beyondcataclysm.co.uk. Don't write Beyond Catalysm, which I'm writing all the time and realize that is an issue with our name, but it's too late now.
But yeah, I'm so excited to be doing it with you as well. I think it's quite fun. But I mean, for the listeners, obviously it's grown out of the idea that I'm printing a book. You're also really working on multiple books, I think, really. And I think it just made sense to join up and put something cool together for us to release it under.
I think we've both got a shared love of prose, things being done really well. I think that's probably because I say the word like every 9 seconds, which I notice very heavily when I edit a podcast. And so the idea of something being planned so it's actually good quality is nice. And probably using adjectives better than nice.
It's nice to work with someone else on it as well, because it means you almost have a quality buffer. I think we're both aligned on tending to want things to be as high quality as we can achieve. And sometimes you need a second pair of eyes on that to make that happen, don't you?
I think the downside is that I now have literally, I have approximately 4 book projects in my head that are probably going to happen in 2021. So it's had the effect of making me busier, which is great. That's what I needed.
Me too, actually. I struggled in December to prioritize getting all the paper cuts done while also doing a full-time job and all of that kind of thing. When I've got other things that keep kind of grabbing my attention, like I've got all these new ideas for things that I can write or print or do, and I've got this other idea in my head for maybe another book later in the year, but I have to go no, let's park that idea until you actually have the mental space to deal with it, which is very tricky sometimes. It's weird balancing kind of music and writing projects with everyday life, even when we're all locked down, and you'd think we'd have more time, but I don't seem to.
I have definitely, we've been talking about the joy of children. Definitely don't seem to have any more. I maybe have more time, but I have less emotional headspace. In fact, yes. You know what? I'm going to put on a song next because mental health, I think at the beginning of lockdown, there was a bit of a focus on, people are struggling with their mental health. And there's been a recognition that people are struggling. But my worst days were in December of this whole time, I had some pretty bad times in March, April. But in March, April, people were talking about how, we're all struggling with this. Whereas, so we may have, and this is a very happy New Year thing, we may have even worse times ahead of us emotionally, even if things look like they're improving.
I think emotionally, although I'm not sure how much it affects me personally, I do think just it being winter has an impact. You know, less sunlight, maybe not getting out as much, or, you know, it's quite easy to go for a nice walk around the park in the sunshine. But when it's icy, that's a bit trickier, you know. And I think it does have a bit of an impact. I had a bit of a dip between Christmas and New Year's because it was an endless expanse of nothingness and I hadn't planned anything. And the government cancelled my plans. So, but I think I'm hoping that people will talk about it more in January and February. I think it's going to come more to the forefront again.
Yeah, I think there is an awareness. I think actually just continuing to check in on your friends and being willing to say, I am having a bad time.
Which is so tricky to do when you're in that bad place, I think.
Yeah, and I think different people respond in different ways. So I as an external processor, absolutely just ring near strangers and tell them that I'm not having a good time. to the degree, actually, I've had a few people get quite alarmed about me. And I'm like, no, this isn't a cry for help. This is just me saying, this is how I process. So yeah. So I'm
well. The thing that I think we should
on other people's health instead.
That's kind of the balance, isn't it? I think what it should be though is that sometimes you only make that phone call to say I'm having a bad time when you're really in a bad place. And what we need to do is normalize having a phone call to say I'm starting to have a bad time when you're at the top of that precipice and starting to go over, rather than when you get to the bottom of the slope. You know, I think it's really hard to say to your friends, I can feel like I may be slipping a little bit. Could we hang out? But that should just be something normal that we can do.
Except that we can't hang out. But
well, absolutely. I know that is the struggle.
But yeah. Okay. So I have a song that's sort of relevant. It's called Anxious by The Tellaways.
So anxious. Coffee's
was a song about anxiety, or just about being just not quite right. And I think that seems fairly appropriate for the current time that is not quite right.
That was such a beautiful song for one that's called Anxious, though. You know, you've really got that kind of Motown, then a bit of like a Caribbean vibe in there. That was lovely. Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
It wasn't very punk, though, so apologies to anyone who's... I'm going to let you bring us back into punk, I think, with our next...
You want me to take you back into the realm of punk? Because, I mean, I'd kind of picked out a few tracks, and some of them are punk and some of them are not. I'm quite enjoying our more I don't know, danceable kind of funky vibes. But I can take us down the punk route if you want.
I mean, I'm pretty sure next time I meet up with Pook, I think... We basically threatened that the next podcast we do together is going to be a solely jazz podcast. So,
hello. Well,
and I just think
fantastic.
Anyone who has coped through the ramshackle sort of mess of music that we usually put together will probably be happy with that. So that's fine.
Absolutely.
What would you like us to listen to next, Sarah?
Well, how about we kind of go punk, but we also keep it super upbeat. I want to play one of the tracks that I just really, really enjoyed in 2020. It's a band called High Time. Have you heard of them?
No.
They're Australian. They're absolutely fantastic. And Lockjaw Records released an EP by them earlier in the year. And the lead single from it was a track called Quit Your Job. So I'd quite like to play that. So this is High Time with Quit Your Job.
A particularly lovely music video. What I liked about it was it wasn't really a music video. They just had their logo and then some like fronds like waving in front of it, and it was just like really quite calming, along with the idea of quitting my job, which sounds quite nice.
Well, yeah, we all kind of, even when we like our jobs, we all want to quit our jobs, don't we, sometimes?
I mean, what I say now will not a lot of people won't be able to relate to it, and I apologize for that, but the thing I've learned in lockdown is that money is just completely irrelevant to me. And like, because actually I've earned, as a doctor in lockdown with a like pandemic, there's been definitely more opportunity to work. And the thing is, like the other day I got an email and it was like, do you want to work on New Year's Eve? Which obviously you don't really want to work on New Year's Eve, but I didn't have anything planned. And I was like, and they were saying, we're going to, you know, no one wants to work. So we're willing to pay like double or whatever. And I was like, well, I could go and get some more money. Actually, it turns out that I have money in my bank account, and there's nothing I can buy that is as good as what I'm missing. you know?
Yeah, like, your time with your family, you know, that's what's important, I think.
Especially after the kids go to bed anyway.
Yeah. I don't know, it's been interesting because this year I've been on somewhat the opposite end of the spectrum. You know, I was working a minimum wage job at the beginning of the year and part-time minimum wage at that, so I was pretty skint. And then I got furloughed, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but having 80% of part-time minimum wage is not enough to live on.
It sounds not very much money.
No, however, I'm fortunate to be fairly privileged in the sense that I've been able to, you know, save a bit over the years when I've had, you know, better paying jobs. So I've been okay, but I've seen some friends really, really, really struggling this year. But, you know, we've got through it. We're all here still.
I think, yeah, I mean, I
just about.
There was one thing.
I think I've mentally lost it a bit.
I mean, I hate to quote a Tory politician. That's, I think, more than the music, that's going to get people to quit the podcast, isn't it? But is it Richie Sunak said something ridiculously hypocritical about everyone should just use their savings to help people out, which, I mean,
I fundamentally disagree.
I mean, I absolutely agree that Richie...
Well, what he said was that everyone should go on a spending spree with their savings in January and February in order to save the economy. How dare you assume that people have savings?
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing that just the tone of it was just completely tone deaf.
Yeah.
But those of me, like people like me who do have savings, I definitely have been trying to spend more than I would do normally on supporting small and medium businesses and
Absolutely,
helping out bands and stuff like that. And if you're in a band and you want some money, send me a message and I'll send you money. Let's see if that works. I hope I'm not deluged by
deal,
that.
Isn't it?
I will though. Like, as in, or like, yeah. I will pay you to do a thing for me, or like, you know, I'm always on the lookout for cool graphic designers to do cool things for me. So get in contact, because I'd like to support people. But Richie Sunak's wife is richer than the Queen. And
yeah.
I just feel like if you are richer than the Queen, you absolutely need to have some kind of very, very valuable foundation that has billions of pounds and that uses that visibly to demonstrate to, not to show off and be like, look how good I am, but to show to other rich people you need to be good with your money rather than just a Tory scumbag. But, you know, never mind.
Yeah, I feel that there's... Yeah, I feel that it was so completely inappropriate for him to say that, because there's such a large proportion, particularly of people, you know, millennials and younger, who just don't have any savings whatsoever.
You don't have a £400 billion trust fund. Oh,
no.
Sorry, I apologise.
Yeah, and I think there's an assumption that people, there's an assumption that people who can save should save, which doesn't necessarily happen because people have other life priorities or don't have as good a financial education as well. I think that's a real issue.
I mean, maybe instead of in high school learning about, secondary school to everyone who's not from weirdly around Manchester, where for some reason they call it high school, which is annoying. But those of you who in secondary school learned trigonometry, which has never been useful to me, but you don't learn how to do a tax return or to do...
No,
trigonometry
exactly.
has been useful to you.
Well, I do statistics and I do research, so I have used some trig, yeah.
Okay.
But I do maths for a living, so...
Okay. I mean, that is fair enough. However, savings and, like, just how to have a budget and stuff... Like, you don't learn any of that stuff. You don't learn how to do tax returns.
No, not at all. And I think that ought to be included in the education as a bare minimum. But I think beyond that as well, there's this expectation... I mean, if you look at the minimum wage, for example, if you're working minimum wage, and I know this from experience... What you're earning just about barely, if you're lucky, covers your rent, your water bills, your electric, all your fixed cost utilities. And then it covers a bit of food for you. You don't really have enough money to go and like get drunk or have parties or go away on holiday. You don't have enough money for any of those nice extras that you'd like to make your life more comfortable. You know, you can't afford to buy a new oven, that kind of thing. But
more importantly, vinyl.
Yeah, that's true. But more importantly than that is it just about covers your living costs. And what that means is that you will never be in a position to save if you're on that kind of level of wage. And then if you're not in the position to save, then you're trapped in your job. You can't have, you know, what you need to have is like 3 months worth of income put aside as an emergency, so that if you need to take a bit of time off work in order to, you know, go find another job that you want more or that you think would better suit your abilities or that would advance you in life or whatever it is that you want to do, you don't have any of that financial security. You're just scraping by. And for him to suggest that people should be spending their savings at a time when things are so financially uncertain is, oh God, it's abhorrent.
Anyway, no, I completely agree. And to be honest, you made me think that my initial statement was fairly tone deaf and that maybe I should apologise. So anyone who was offended well, I don't know. You know, I think it doesn't hurt. That's the thing. It doesn't hurt Rishi Sunak to say maybe I was a bit rubbish about how I said something and I could have said it better.
Now that is a very good point.
I really want to go on a rant about the health secretary now, but we should probably move on. otherwise, this is just...
I have so many more things I could get angry about if necessary, but no one wants to listen to that.
Well, the next podcast is just going to be entirely based on how to do a self-assessment tax return. So I think everyone's going to enjoy tuning into that.
I'm more than happy to help.
I'm going to go...
I've already done mine.
So the paper cuts... book that is coming out soon and which you can purchase from shoutlouder.com and also
shoutlouder.bigcartel.com
shoutlouder.bigcartel.com
shout-louder.com
indeed and probably in some way beyond cataclysm.co.uk as well.
You can buy it everywhere.
You can buy it everywhere and bookshops. Maybe
you can turn up at my house and give me cash.
Yes. But one of the things that we did for that was we've designed a bookmark.
We did.
Which has the lead singer of Slutface on it, which meant that I went down a spiral of listening to Slutface constantly for about a week. And so I'd like to play Backyard by Slutface, which is a song about having fun in your backyard. And it just, one of the things that gave me a big space early on in lockdown was wild camping in my own front garden.
Amazing.
Like just putting up a tarp and just sleeping in that whilst people walk past on the road.
Do you know what? I've not got a garden, so I can't do that. But I've got so bored of sleeping in my own bed this year that I've occasionally been like camping on the sofa.
Yep. Yeah,
I'm not even kidding.
I've done a den underneath the dining table with the kids, and we've camped there, and we've graffitied underneath the table saying when we were there and what we did. So this is about going adventuring in your backyard, which you can do.
We'll be right back.
we are adventuring in our backyard. Nice. Unless you don't have a backyard, in which case we're adventuring on the sofa.
On the sofa is the best, honestly.
You should totally record a cover called Adventuring on the Sofa. That sounds good.
I have become very well acquainted with my sofa this year.
I'm staying at an Airbnb tonight, and the sofas here are just way too soft. Like, I went and sat on one, and it's just, yeah, I was like, that
you feel like you can get lost in it.
Yeah, but not in a good way, in a just unsupported way.
Like, oh, no. Well, yeah, I've got, I've spent more time on my sofa this year than I ever have on a sofa in the past. And currently my cat is curled up asleep next to me on the sofa, which is lovely.
We have three dogs, and one, our oldest dog, well, she's kind of stopped caring because she knows she's 13 now and we're not going to get rid of her. We're not going to do anything. So she just doesn't care anymore. But what she used to do is if you came downstairs, you'd hear a, hang on, let me try and make that on the mic. You'd hear that, the sound of a dog jumping off a sofa. And then you'd walk into the lounge and she'd be stood just in the middle of the lounge looking at us awkwardly. And it's like, she'd never be standing in the middle of the lounge normally, like, as in, and so she'd look at us guilty and awkward. And then you'd go and feel the sofa and it'd be warm. And she'd just, her eyes would just be so wide and she'd just be so like,
I've been on the sofa.
I don't know how that happened. But now you walk in and she just looks at us and goes, yeah, so what? so she's adventuring on our sofa as well. So that's exciting.
That's good.
Would you like to choose a song for us, Sarah?
Oh, I'd absolutely love to choose a song. What are you in the mood for? Do you fancy something more punk or do you fancy something more in the kind of, well, I've got, do you know what? I'm going to play my other track that's not punk at all. I want to play a track by Moses Boyd called Shades of You. And obviously I do like a punk podcast. So normally I'm only really playing punk tracks out to the world and this would have no place on my podcast. But I feel like it might be quite at home here. This year, to be honest, there's been some amazing punk releases, but I haven't had anything that I've become like really truly enamored with. You know, when you can't stop listening to a record.
Yeah.
But instead, I've had that with different genres. And I've been listening to a lot of like jazz, a lot of kind of funk and soul, a lot of rap, and a lot of kind of lo-fi hip hoppy stuff. But then there's this one track that's come out that is so 90s, it's unbelievable. Or maybe I'm getting myself mixed up. Maybe it's more 80s. You'll have to give me your opinion.
90s is Spice Girls in my head. So
but it's just got this really nostalgic tone to it, which I think is true of a lot of stuff this year. Like Kylie brought out that disco album. I know that's outside of our wheelhouse, but I feel like there's been a real resurgence in nostalgic listening this year.
I have definitely not listened to Kylie's album. I apologise. I think the thing for me, what you said there about an album really connecting with you, is for me, almost every time that's happened, it's I've seen a band live and they've been incredible. And then I've gone, and just because I remembered the end, like, you know the band from Leeds, Daves?
Oh, of course, I love them.
And like their energy live is just so face-bleeding. Like,
they're insane, aren't they?
Like, and like, it's so cut down as well. Like it's just, they're just like a three-piece. There's hardly anything going on. One of them looks a lot like Graham Norton. And and he does not like me pointing that out. I saw him live and one of them was, he ended up just standing on a table. And the band wasn't even playing. It was just him shouting. And it was so... Yeah,
it's really visceral what they do live, I think.
I think I used the word visceral three times in my review, so there you go.
It's the word for them. I reviewed them at some point, and I think I did the same thing, but they're so, oh my God, they're amazing. I absolutely love them.
We're not listening to Dave's. Anyway.
Sorry, Dave's.
We should probably put Dave's on there, but we're not going to. Sorry.
But what I'm going to do is, as I say, there's been quite a lot of kind of more like neo-soul stuff that I've connected to this year. But there's been one track that for all of December I've not been able to get out of my head, and I want to play you that. So I want to play Shades of You by Moses Boyd featuring Poppy Adua.
Awesome. And then directly after that, we're playing Dave's.
Give away all my colours, I'm left with shades of blue. Can't handle your darkness, shades of you.
FM, and we're now going to lead into the next song by Dave, a tribute to the glory that is Gordon Ramsay.
Thank you.
I, both me and Sarah have a Gordon Ramsay. Well, we both, I have a Gordon Ramsay story and you have a Dave story.
It's not a very good story.
Well, neither, my story is not very good either. Who wants to go
Excellent.
First?
Excellent. Oh, you go first. You've got Gordon Ramsay.
So I was in Sheffield Town Centre and I ran into Gordon Ramsay. He was like filming something in a restaurant in some place in Sheffield. And he looked really angry and he was smoking a cigarette and he just looked really annoyed and was like, it was like being really rude to someone right next to him. That's the whole story. It fits with the song.
I mean, it does fit with the song. So obviously the song is by a band called Daves, who we both love. My only real Dave story is that at Download 2010, or well, at Download every year, my friends and I had a bit of a game about, we'd, you know, roam around the campsite in a big pack all shouting, has anyone seen Dave? And we did that for days. Days and days and days of shouting, has anyone seen Dave? And then towards the end of the festival, someone went, oh yeah, we've seen Dave. And it just happened that these people we didn't know pushed us towards this man called Dave. And Dave, the one that they introduced us to, of the many Daves there were at Download Festival 2010, happened to be one of my close friends, also called Dave. Someone I used to drink in the pub with. I had no idea that he was at the festival, and we'd apparently been roaming around all weekend looking for him.
What I'm loving about that story is it's nothing to do with the band, Dave, does it? It's just about people called Dave.
No, I didn't suggest it had anything to do with the band. It's just about Dave.
I think they'll love that. I'm going to give a shout out to Chip Coffee Company, which is run by one of the beautiful members of Dave's, who do excellent coffee. And at some point, when I get my bum in gear, they're going to do some Warrington Scarpunk coffee.
Oh, very exciting. Yeah, they did Dave's coffee, didn't they?
They did, and sold out really quickly. But merch doesn't really sell very well when
well, we did, the world doesn't we exist. Did Lockjaw Coffee when I was with Lockjaw Records, but we got that from Sham City Roasters, who are good pals of mine as well. I say good pals of mine. No, we are pals, but also I particularly love their coffee. That's it. Do you know what, though? I've defected slightly from the punk coffee realm recently, because often I've drunk coffee made by punks, but I've discovered this amazing place in Manchester, the Manchester Coffee Company, as it's inventively named. Yeah. And I'm pretty much exclusively drinking their stuff now. Mancoco, they do a Mancunian blend, and oh my God, it's good.
I have here, my wife got me for Christmas, some Cafe Direct Fair Trade Christmas blend, which is quite nice. And also, I've been drinking coffee from Dick's Bean Bar in Warrington, who have their own blend, a Christmas blend called Tis the Season.
I like that.
So the good thing about Dick's Bean Bar, which I quite like, is it's run by a bloke called, what would you think he's called?
I would think he was called Richard.
He's not. He's called Rob, but he called it Dick's Bean Bar because it's a funny name that you remember. And since then, I've told that story to so many people, and I've told it to about five people who've gone...
Well, now you've told it to all of your listeners.
About five people I've told it to have gone, oh, right, I've gone, you know, Dick's Bean... Oh, yeah, Dick's Bean Bar. Like, as in, and they've been like, they've remembered it exclusively because of the name. So it was the right decision.
It is very memorable. Memorable? I visited the Mancoco place and I discovered they've got this little roastery under the arches near my mate's house. And it turns out there's a little cafe in there as well. And when I went in, it was ridiculously Christmassy. And it smelled amazing. And it made me a little bit weak in the knees. It was wonderful.
We are, Beyond Cataclysm is going to be doing a weird coffee project at some point called ISBN Coffee. Already got a poet. I've got a couple of people writing prose. I'm doing a little mental health coffee like a thing to like assess your mental health and improve it in like the 5 minutes while you wait for your coffee to brew.
Is there some irony here though, in that I'm often told that I ought to drink less coffee in order to help with my mental health?
Oh, you can absolutely have it with decaf coffee. I don't think the coffee with it will be decaf. I'm not sure, but I've also got two different people from Press Pot Games, which is what they call cafetiers in America, or can do. Their RPG company, like board game company, is named after drinking coffee. They're doing two micro RPGs for the book, for role play games that you can play while you drink coffee. That's pretty cool.
Oh my God.
So watch
that. Sounds amazing.
Watch that space for that. I think we've got time for two more songs. I've got the aforementioned ridiculous, whatever it was. Where was it? Brazilian folk thing.
Brazilian folk guitar thing?
Yeah, but we'll go with something.
I'll be honest, this sounds like I'm not going to like it, so I'm wondering if you ought to go first, or do you want to play it out?
You played some UK garage, and I was more on board than I thought I would be. So let's see your one, and then we'll end with my one.
Oh, I've got a couple of tracks. Well, hang on. Why don't you pick between them? I've got an Australian band called The Sinking Teeth, or we can listen to the new Goodbye Blue Monday. Which would you prefer?
Let's
the band you don't know, or the band you might know?
Let's go with Goodbye Blue Monday.
Oh, okay. So they've got a new track out called Exile, which is kind of the summation of their year, although they were playing it live a little bit the year before. But I love them deeply, and I'm so excited to pick out some new music. So yeah, let's play Exile by Goodbye Blue Monday.
Awesome.
I will exile myself from this unfolding.
Goodbye Blue Monday, and it was probably the best thing that I have listened to in a little while. It was pretty amazing. There was a couple of lines I just want to read out there. Absorbed in this catatonic suffering, in this madness I've built, my isolation fuels my guilt. In this construction forces everything away, this solitary asylum, I rattle these chains, kicking and screaming.
Kicking and screaming.
I mean,
I'll tell
obviously,
you what, Chris,
as soon
not-
as... As soon as I hear I Rattle These Chains, I immediately start thinking of Marley and Marley from...
Same, Christmas Carol.
One project I want to do this year, it's a really weird project to work on.
Does it involve a Muppet Christmas Carol?
Yes, it absolutely does. I want to do a load of punk bands covering Muppet Christmas Carol songs.
Well, if you start it now, you'd have it done for Christmas.
Yeah, but then it's a bit of a weird one, isn't it? Because you've got to get people recording a Christmas album in, like, March.
Yeah, but how do you think people do it? That's exactly how Christmas albums are recorded. All the Christmas specials that you've seen on the telly, they were all recorded in the summer.
I know. So, I mean, the thing is, I was thinking about it the other day, and I was thinking, what would actually be amazing? I think I won't do this, but what would be amazing is to get everyone to do it to roughly the same time, like roughly the same time speed as the originals. And then you could do your own alternate edit of Muppet's Christmas Carol dropping in the new songs, which would be amazing. I mean, option two is you do an edit where, say the songs are faster, you speed up that bit of the video.
I would say that if you're doing punk covers, you'd naturally have to change the tempo, though.
Exactly.
To make it punk, it would have to be faster.
But if you hear this podcast and think that being part of a Muppets Christmas Carol ska and punk cover album is everything that you've wanted in life, then please send me a message, because because I can just contact bands, but what I really want is bands who want to do it, who are like, yes, this is what I exist on this earth to do. So
I mean it makes a nice change for people doing Tony Hawk 2 covers, doesn't it? I'll tell you what though, Chris, honestly, if you're not hugely familiar with Goodbye Blue Monday, oh my gosh, you are really in for a treat. You've got to go and listen to their EPs. They did their first EP, is only 3 tracks, and it is stunning. It's absolutely, like, it will jump inside your soul and grab hold of your heart and wave it around and make you feel things. It will make you feel things.
That does sound good. I don't feel things apart from quite a lot of indigestion following Christmas at the moment, so that's good. And I think I've drank like about 4 coffees since I sat down at 2, and it is 4:39 now, so that's probably too much coffee.
I've gone over my 2 coffee limit for the day. I had 3 coffees. It was quite extreme.
So we have one song left, and it's going to come from an artist called Kiko Dinucci, I think is pronounced, and he's a Brazilian musician, and he described somewhere I read it, and it described his guitar playing as like really percussive, so him like using like the guitar as almost like a percussion instrument.
So sort of Newton Faulkner-y style, or?
That sounds very right if I knew then, but I don't. So
I mean, that was a reference to 2007, I think, that I just made, so don't worry.
That's fine. I got the Spice Girls reference from the 90s, so I feel like I'm still very much in.
You made the Spice Girls reference.
Yeah, but at least I knew a single band from the 90s, so that's good. Anyway, so this guy, but one of the things it also mentions is like one of the inspirations he takes is from his time in the punk scene. So I don't know what that means either. This song is called Rastilho, and we'll play it now.
Queima, deixar-te vir a cinza, fumaça, a praça derreteu, a noite não findou, o temporal mal começou, deixa o sol nascer. Quando ele quiser, a lava escorrer até o último sinal de vida. Abraçado à morte sem saber, os moribundos dançam, as moscas já nos cobrem, ninguém pode parar.
Vamos ir
wonderful. So that was Kiko DiNucci.
I very much enjoyed that.
I think of the Brazilian folk artists that I regularly listen to, they are by far and away the best.
Do you listen to a lot of Brazilian folk?
They were also the worst, I think it's fair to say.
I mean, it's not my first experience with Brazilian folk. I thought it was rather nice.
I thought it was lovely. I think we're done. We could always play more songs. I'm sure I'll have you on.
I suspect we have a lot more chat and songs in us, but there's only so much that the people can handle.
There is. And we spent so much of it talking about circadian rhythm and tax evasion or whatever it was. Any closing words for our wonderful listeners, Sarah?
Just thanks for having me on. This has been really good fun, actually. This has given a bit of joy to my between Christmas and New Year's period, or a nice start of the new year. And to everyone else, go and
We've kind of missed the between Christmas and New Year period, given we're recording this on New Year's Day.
I don't know what day it is.
Yeah, I
have no idea what is time
again. I feel like the one day it's kind of just not okay to not know what day it is okay. New Year's Day.
All like, right, well, I don't know. I've barely left my sofa.
That is true. Thank you for coming on, Sarah, and we will see you soon. And everyone who wants to get involved in the Warrington Ska Punk Muppets copyright battles with whoever, Disney, please just send me a message.
Check it out at warringtonscarpunk.co.uk. The theme tune is by Peg and The Rejected. Thanks for listening. Bye.